Thank you, kids. Great job.
Great job.
Amen.
As always.
Man.
Spoiled rotten, aren't we? As an American, just spoiled rotten. And I'm thankful. I'm blessed. I am blessed. The Lord is blessed. I'm glad to go to church with people that know they're blessed.
Amen.
You are blessed. You live in the greatest country on earth.
Amen.
Amen. You've got the word of God in your hand. And you're blessed. So anyway, let me pray and we'll get into this morning's sermon. And I'm going to try to be helpful to us all this morning. Whether you're a sinner that's lost and don't know Christ as your Savior, whether that you're saved and you've been saved for a while, as I taught in Sunday school hour, the job of the preacher, the role of the preacher, my job is to warn, my job is to protect, my job is to guide, and my job is to keep you in line with the Lord. And that's the only job that I have this morning. I am your friend. And I can honestly, truly say, and I can't explain it, but I can tell you that I love every single one of you. I love you because God's put that in my heart. So understand the message in which I'm preaching is out of love. I am here to provide a warning from God for him and for us, but more so, not this morning a warning so much as a reminder. I want to remind Christians this morning. And I want to remind Christians and I want to inform those that might not be saved. I think everyone here is saved. I don't know that for sure, but I believe it to be true. And if not, you'll know by the end of this message today whether or not you are. And I hope that's right with the Lord this morning for you. And I pray that you'll listen. And I pray that you'll follow along the best you can. Let me pray and then we'll get into it. Father, I do thank you again for your goodness. I thank you for that special, Lord. I thank you for how it's touched the hearts of these people. How it's touched my heart and given me a good reminder, Lord, of how blessed I am. Not just to be an American, Lord, but to be a child of God. I'm so thankful to be yours, Father. I pray that you'd now speak to the people and that you would use me, Lord. Remove me from your way. Father, please, whatever sin or whatever I may have in my way, Lord, that's preventing the word from getting to the people this morning, I pray that you rid me of it, remove me from it. And Father, now that my mind and my heart would be clear as I share the message, please touch our hearts today with your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, before salvation, you and I were dead. If you look at verse 1, go ahead and look at it. It says, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That word quickened means made alive. The Bible tells us that when Christ came in, when we've accepted him, he has made us alive. We were in a deceived, depraved, and dead condition, separated from God, doomed for hell forever. So one thing that we have to remember and recall as a child of God is that there was one time or another that every single one of us were doomed for hell. You were never good enough. You were never strong enough, smart enough, wise enough. You didn't have enough money. Your mommy and daddy didn't put you in the right spot. Your worker, your employer didn't put you in a good spot. That nice car you drive, that beautiful house you live in, had nothing to do with your soul. Your soul was on its way to hell. That's what God's reminded us here in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were. If you know English, were is past tense, right? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Let me remind Christians this morning of your need for an almighty God. You cannot save yourself.
Amen.
You are not good enough for yourself or for anyone else. You cannot save your family. You cannot save your neighbor. Only God can do that. You cannot deceive God. You cannot manipulate God. You cannot twist God's arm. You cannot run from God. He is a sovereign God. He knows your state. He knows your need. And he knows your ways. What the Bible is reminding you and I of this morning is there was a time in your life that you were without God on your way to hell. But verse 4. But God. So, we were lost, depraved, and deceived. The sinner that doesn't know God this morning is in a dark place. They're in a hopeless place. They're in a desperate place. Most don't even realize their situation. Most don't even understand that they are destined for an empty, decaying, lonely place without God forever. They don't even know they're on the path. They don't even know that they're on their way there. But that's where you and I were out also. Before Christ came in, you and I were on the same road. And you could say, well, I lived right, I lived honestly, I had good integrity, and boy, I tried to serve my community, and boy, I loved people, and I was always good to them, and I helped them on the side of the road, and I helped them clean their yard up, and boy, I just tried to help people, and that was all well and good, but it didn't have anything to do with about your soul.
Amen.
It's good to be a good Samaritan. It's fantastic to be helping out with charities. It's wonderful to be a volunteer fireman. It's good to be a volunteer paramedic. Or a volunteer driver, whatever you want to be for somebody else. Great. Has nothing to do with your soul.
Amen.
That can't help your soul. So our souls were on our way to hell. Because the lost sinner is dead, he is trapped in his lost condition, and he can do nothing to deliver himself. If you've never bowed your heart and asked Christ into your heart, you have to do so. Because without it, you are on your way to hell.
Amen.
Not because I said so, not because that's what I desire or wish, but that's what God says. So I can't change that, nor can you. I can't change that for my family. I can't change that for my kids. I can't change that for my wife or for my mother. I can't change it for anybody else. That's got to be a personal decision for everybody. If you've never bowed your heart and asked Christ into your heart, you fit this situation right here. You need to get saved.
Amen.
Every part of the sinner's being is tainted by and trapped in sin. Try as he might in religious activity and self-improvement, one can never make himself right with God. No self-efforts can or will ever take away your sin. Nothing will ever do it. There's nobody you can call. There's no phone call to make. There's no place in which you could go. There's no vacation in which you could take to get your mind off of it, because if you're lost, you know it. And you can't help it. But God. But God. The present condition and future condemnation could not be stated in any more horrible terms than it is here in verses 1 and verse 1 of chapter 2. That's where the lost sinner is today. But that's also where you and I once were. Look at verse 1 again. And you hath he made alive, hath he quickened, who were dead and trespasses and sins. What I'd like to remind the saved of this morning, and what I'd like to tell the lost, is that we were dead in our sins. We were deceived in our ways. We were desperate in our actions. Before Christ came in your life, before Christ knocked on your door, your soul was on their way, its way to hell. But God. And you say, well, why do we enjoy singing the song so much? And why are we so thankful for a good special? And why do we like to sit and hear this kind of preaching often? And why do we want the Lord to touch our hearts? Because we remember who we were before Christ came in. And I remember how wicked and vile and wretched I am now, let alone what I was before Christ came in my heart. And it's a good reminder from Paul this morning. It's a good reminder, he says, and you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, in his divine intervention, came to us where we were, and he made us a new creature. That's why we have that right there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what Christ did for you and for me. And that's what Christ does for every single lost person that comes to Christ as their Savior. He comes in and he cleans it all up. And who were dead in trespasses and sins, he hath quickened us. But God. We no longer are condemned. We no longer are deceived. We no longer are hopeless. We no longer are without God. God has come in. And he has made us a new creature in which we were not before. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm thankful.
Amen.
I know me. And I know my wretchedness. And I know my wickedness. And I know my Savior.
Amen.
He's done something in me that my wife couldn't do. He's done, she'll admit, she'll attest to that. He's done something to me my children couldn't do. I know men all the time who, and I know one of them right now who just had a grandbaby, and I know some tough, gruff people, man. I mean, they don't mind having a rough conversation with somebody. They don't mind hurting somebody's feelings a time or two. But then, especially them older guys, when they have that grandbaby, something softens their heart right there. It just changes the way they see things. It just changes the way they act. And that's all well and good, but God can do so much better than that.
Amen.
God can change your heart so much more than a grandbaby can. God can change your heart so much more than a little child can. I want you to look at the scripture this morning. Look at verse 1. I'm going to read and I'm going to follow it along here. And we're going to get right down to verse 4. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I want you to think, as I'm reading this, I want you to do your best to apply this to you. Because I can't get my wife to stand up for me. And you can't get your spouse to stand up for you. I can't stand in front of God for you. Look at it. Verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. By the way, the prince of the power of the air is Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What does that mean there, we were children of wrath? Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What it means as in children of wrath right there is we were full of sin before Christ came in, and we were children of the devil. We may not have done it intentionally, but we didn't have anything to do with it. That's the way we were made. But then we get a chance. And our saving grace is verse 4. Look at verse 4. As wretched and vile as verses 1 through 3 are, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Christian, don't forget this morning. Christian, don't take it for granted this morning. Hey, child of God, remind yourself today and remind yourself again tomorrow morning and remind yourself on Tuesday and remind yourself on Thursday and remind yourself on Saturday morning when you recall that you were once lost and dead in your trespasses and sins, but no longer. He hath quickened you now and he hath made you a new creature. And don't forget that, Christian. Don't forget that you were dead in your trespasses and sins before your holy God came in and saved you. Don't forget that you were living a world fulfilling the lust of the flesh before Christ came in and saved you. And if you're still living a life fulfilling lust, if you're still living a life fulfilling the flesh, I would ask Christ if he ever actually came in. And if he did, I would ask you if you're loving him the way you should. Don't forget who you were. Don't take it for granted. Don't lose sight and vision of how great your God is this morning. If you're saved this morning, God has performed a miraculous work in you. Don't squander it on riotous living. Don't waste what God has provided you. Don't waste it by serving everything else but the Lord. It's time that Christians start showing thanks to God more often. And not just doing it on Sunday morning. And not just doing it on Sunday afternoon. Not just doing it at the dinner table with the family. Not just doing it at Christmas time when we're buying Christmas presents for the ones in which we love. And given by the example of the Savior's love for us, by the way. That's not the only time we need to be reminded to be thankful and praise God. You can praise God outside of church.
Amen.
You can drive down the road this morning, in the morning, tomorrow morning on your way to work and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. You can ride down the road on the way home and say, thank you, Lord, for a wife that loves me. Thank you, Lord, for a table that I get to sit at and eat at. Thank you, Lord, for a nice, comfortable place in which I live. Thank you for a good bed in which I have to sleep in. Thank you for a good pair of shoes that I have to put my feet in. You can be thankful this morning, more so than we are today. You can be more thankful again tomorrow. Show him thanks this morning. Cry out to him. Honor him. Choose him. In this process of divine intervention, I want to show you the wonders that occur when God butts in. I don't know your testimony this morning. I don't know when you got saved. I don't know if you are saved. Most folks I know that you're saved because you said you're saved, but I don't have your full testimony. But I know my testimony. I know when I asked God to come in my heart. I know there was a time years ago that I knew I was void of something. I had everything a little boy could want. As a young 16-year-old boy, I had my own car. I had a job. I had girlfriends on each arm if I wanted them. I had money in my pocket. I had a place in which to sleep. I had anywhere that I wanted to go. I was a quote-unquote jock, an athlete. I could play sports. I could travel the world. I could go down to... My mom and dad gave me permission to go out on my own trip sometime. And my cousin and I told you about the ski trip we went on at the age of 18. Why would two dumb teenagers go out at the age of 18 go skiing in the middle of Canadian Valley? I don't know, but we did it. I could do whatever a man wanted to do. But there was something missing. I couldn't explain it. I had no idea what it was. I didn't know what I was missing, but I knew I was missing something. And the alcohol would never do it. And thank God I never did drugs, but the drugs couldn't do it. And there's no pack of cigarettes that's going to help with it. There's no prescription medication I could take to find it. There's nothing I could do to fill that void.
Amen.
But God. But God. And then we have Christians this morning who live lives today as if they were 20 years before they ever got saved. Why would we ever go back to the way we used to live when now we are a new creature in Christ? It doesn't make any sense to go back to the old ways, especially when he hath quickened you and made you alive.
Amen.
When you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Letter A, I want you to understand this morning that God's intervention is personal. It's personal. Those two words, just six little letters, one conjunction and a personal pronoun. But God. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You didn't have a reason to wake up tomorrow. And it wasn't your spouse, and it wasn't your children, and it wasn't your job, and there was no reason you had to live the next day. But God. What's your purpose this morning? What's your reason for being alive? Is it to get to the next paycheck? Is it to fulfill the service of the church? Is it to love my spouse and provide for them and take care of them? Some of them noble things to do. Not going to discredit them. But I would simply say this, you weren't made for that. You were made to glorify God with your life.
Amen.
If you're to glorify God in your life and your job, then that's what you ought to do. If you were made to glorify God in your workplace, that's what you ought to do. If you're made to glorify God in rearing your family and protecting your family and taking care of your family, that's part of it. But God has made every single one of us individually with certain talents and abilities that he wants to use. That's why you exist. That's why you're alive. You are not alive because God wants you there to take care of your family. You are alive because God has made you for a purpose for him, and you are to fulfill that purpose in him. Now, in doing that, yeah, you better take care of your family. A man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. That's right. That's holy. That's scriptural. You ought to go to work every day. You ought to earn a paycheck. You ought to provide security for your family. You ought to love them and protect them. Yes, you should. But then the other things that the Lord has provided you that go to waste and sit by the wayside because you're not serving God with them, he's going to hold you accountable for that. He wants you to glorify him in those things in which he's given you the ability to do so. So God's intervention is personal. Those two words, but God, may be the two greatest words in all the Bible. See, it's where salvation originates. See, you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were on our way to hell, but God stepped in and changed everything.
Amen.
I don't know about you. You ever had a personal conversation with somebody and somebody tried to butt in? Not pleasant, right? Some kids, rude little kid, try to jump in, mommy, and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody and somebody start tapping you on the shoulder or somebody starts pulling your coat string or maybe some stranger just kind of butts in on your conversation. It's fairly rude, isn't it? I'm glad God butted in. I may not want my neighbor to butt in. I may not want my stranger to butt in. I may not want some other person butting into my conversation, but I sure am glad. I sure am glad that God butted in.
Amen.
I sure am glad he came in and he started working on me. Praise God, he took a personal interest in me. I'm so glad for the day he butted in my life. I wasn't looking for a changed life. I wasn't looking for a savior. I wasn't looking for anything but the next good time. I wasn't looking anything for the next opportunity to sin. I wasn't looking for anything but an opportunity to fulfill my flesh. But God. But God changed everything. And he changed it for the better. I guarantee you, I promise you this, the life in which you see before you would not have happened, and I'm not glorifying it in any way, shape, or form, but I'm telling you this, I would be much more wretched, much more vile, much more wicked than I ever could have imagined had I not had God come in my life. And if you're honest with yourself, so would you. But praise God, he had something different for me. God had bigger plans for me. God had better plans for me. His personal intervention saved me. So I ask you, what about you? Has God personally intervened in your life? Is there a time that you recall Christ coming in and saving your soul? If it is, awesome. If there is a time, wonderful. But if you can't recall a time, something as big as God can't come in and you not know it. You need to know Christ as your personal Savior. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Does he talk to you? Because if not, you might need him as your Savior. A, God's intervention was personal. B, God's intervention was precious. Look at verse 4 again. But God, who is rich in mercy. Those words, who is rich, rich refers to an overabundance, without measure, unlimited. So, but God, who is rich, unlimited, overabundance, without measure. What is the overabundance and without measure in? Mercy. Mercy is goodness or kindness toward the miserable and afflicted. And that is the literal definition. The literal biblical definition of mercy is that, I'll read it to you again so I don't mess it up. Goodness or kindness toward the miserable and afflicted. But God, in his goodness, who was rich in his mercy, it tells you he came in and changed you. I don't know why Christians live any other way other than for God. I don't understand it. There has never been a more afflicted and miserable group of people than the lost. You, me, and everyone else. When we were lost, there's never been a worse group of people. But God, who was rich in his mercy, he loved us. Some of us that have been saved for years need a reminder this morning. Reminder that God loved you long before you loved him. Reminder that God came in where you were and he found you and he saved you and he decided to intervene in your lives and he wanted to make things better for you, not worse. God's not trying to ruin you. God's trying to help you. God's not trying to change you for the worse. He's trying to change you for the better. God's not trying to mess things up for you. He's trying to clean them up for you.
Amen.
And so far too often we have Christians, childs of God, children of God, who are members of the church or not members of the church and just decide that they want to live how they want to live. You've forgotten all about but God. You just want to serve God the way you want to serve God, but you've forgotten all about but God. You wanted to live life the way you wanted to live it. You wanted to go to places in which you wanted to go. You wanted to drink and smoke the things that you wanted to drink and smoke, but you have forgotten but God. But God came in when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And we live our life so aloof, so casual, so nonchalant, so laid back. But God came in and he changed everything for you. And we just spit at him and say, no, God, when I get a chance, maybe. Or God, if you just maybe talk to my heart some more, Lord. And God is sitting there saying, what else do I have to do? What else does a man have to do for another man before he loves him? But your creator, your master, the one who loved you before you even knew he existed, saved you. And then we say, I don't know. If I get a chance, yeah, I'll try this church thing out. But God,
But God loved you.
He loved you long before you loved him. We sit so casual this morning, so dead in our sins, so set in our ways. There's no glory given to God in the lives that we're living. What part of your life, and I'll ask you this personally, but don't answer, it's rhetorical. What part of your life is Christ honoring other than coming to church on Sunday morning? And then ask yourself, did God save me for more than that? Did God come in and change my heart for more than just going to church on Sunday? I'd say yes. He saved you so that you knew how to live for him. He saved you so that you would know how to glorify him in your life. I'm glad he taught me how to rear my children. I'm glad he taught me how to love my wife. By the way, as much love as I might have had for my wife, not a bit of it compares to the way God taught me how to love her. He taught me how to love. He taught me how to love you. I'd hope he teaches you how to love me and not just throw tomatoes at me. There's no glory to given in God in the lives that we're living. I'll ask you this second question. What choices have you ever made for him? What time in your life have you sat and made a decision and said, God told me, and I saw it, and I'm going to do it? When's the last time? Was it 30 years ago? Was it 5 years ago? Hey, here's a more recent question. Was it a week ago? Has there been 7 days that you went without making a choice for God? Has there been 24 hours that you went without making a choice for God? If so, you're missing out. If there's been a long time that you've kind of forgotten that God quickens you in your dead in your trespasses and sins, then maybe you haven't made a good choice for him lately. Loving God is not a better, cleaner lifestyle. God saved you on purpose, for a purpose. You, personally. Not me. Not my kids. Not my spouse. He saved you. On purpose, for a purpose. And if not, he wants to. His intervention is personal. His intervention is precious. And his intervention is profound. Notice in verse 5. Man, I can't read this verse. I can't read this verse. I can't read this passage without being convicted. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Amen. God did not wait for us to improve our condition. God did not wait for us to get better. God did not wait for us to fix it. God came in and he said, I'll fix it. God came in and he said, I know you've done some things wrong, and I know you've defied me, and I know you've denied me, and I know you lived a life for everything but me, but I still love you. And I'll take you. God walked through the grocery store of your life. He saw you on the shelf. He paid for you. As wicked, as wretched, and as vile as you were, he chose you. That ought to inspire some people this morning. That ought to inspire some lives to be lived for Christ this morning. That ought to inspire some decisions to be made for him this morning. He did not wait until we got better. He loved us while we were sinners. He loved us in spite of our wickedness. He reached for us when we never reached for him. When we never called out for God, he called out for you.
Amen.
And he longed for you. Before you ever were, he knew you. Jeremiah tells us, before he formed thee in the belly, he knew you. He came reaching for you long before you ever reached for him. Thank God, the Bible tells us, but God. He butt into our lives, and aren't you so glad he did?
Amen.
So here's my thought and my questions this morning. I said his intervention was personal. His intervention was precious. His intervention was profound. Has God ever butted into your life? If so, be thankful. If not, he is right now. If God's never butted into your life, he's doing it this morning. Here's your chance You need to come to Jesus today. And then I ask Christians this morning, are you a member of a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church? If not, if you're a child of God, you should be. Are you serving the Lord in that church? Or are you stale in the Lord? Are you sidetracked for God? Those are questions that only you can answer before God Himself, not me. I am not here to be your judge. I am not here to be your deciding factor. I am not here to do anything else other than remind you that before Christ came in, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and He saved you. And He saved you on purpose, for purpose. Now it's up to you to live that purpose. It's up to you to live that purpose. Shall we all stand? I appreciate you letting me preach at you this morning. God put that on my heart for me. God didn't just put that on my heart for you. God put that on my heart for me. And I read this passage and I look at the thought of Paul. And I just have to remind myself from time to time. Boy, I need him.
Amen.
Boy, not only do I need him, boy, I want him. I want God to be a part of my life. I don't want to live a day without him. I don't want to serve anybody else but him. There's no other reason in which I live other than live for God. And I ask you this morning, where are you in relation to that for your Savior? Are you thankful to him this morning? With your head bowed and your eyes closed. As the music plays, the invitation, you have a right to come to the altar if you want. You can stay there in your seat if you'd like. But you have a God that loves you this morning. Are you saved this morning? If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd be in heaven? 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God does not want us to doubt it. God does not want us to wonder. God wants us to know that we're saved. Are you saved this morning? If you're not saved this morning, you can be. You just got to ask him to save you. I wouldn't be doing my job as a preacher if I didn't offer the invitation and allow the opportunity for somebody this morning to come and know Christ. If you do not know Christ is your Savior, but you would like to know, I'd love to help you. And I would just simply need to know that you need to know that. And all you got to do is raise your hand and let me know that you need salvation this morning. Is there anybody here that's lost? Does not know if Christ is their Savior? Would you raise your hand? Amen. Okay, saints of God. Bible calls you a saint of God. If you're saved, you're a child of God, you are a saint in Him. How we doing?